Tuesday the 28th of March, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. I forgot to say hello, didn't I? It's been so long, I forgot how to do an intro. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
It's been weeks since we did our last show, so I can't possibly start recording again, because we might not start again. Thank you for tuning back in, because you're obviously listening if you're hearing this. Various reasons why we've not been on, mainly that we wanted to preserve the Cock Womble of the Year award that Aaron gave us earlier in the season, and I think a month off should guarantee it. We're not going to go through a month's worth of games, you'll probably be pleased to know, so we're just going to talk about the weekend's action of a lot of ups and a lot of downs, if you're a Devils fan. We're going to do our end of season awards, just in case we're not recording next week for reasons that we'd rather not discuss, before previewing the massive final weekend, and the games coming up for both ourselves and the Giants. It's going to be a barnstormer, whatever happens. So let's pop back to Friday, where Belfast went to Manchester. And Sean, I don't think you watched the game either, did you?
No, I did not.
No worries. I wasn't sure if anyone got the webcast. But Manchester beat Belfast 5-2, quite comfortably in the end, which left the Devils needing 5 points from their last four games. And those four games were against the bottom four teams in the league. And oh, how we were all so very, very happy. And then Saturday came and it carried on. Aaron, the game against Manchester, obviously, they were a team massively on the high after beating Belfast at home the night before. But Devils came out with an almost perfect performance.
Yeah, didn't put a foot wrong in the first period. We came out absolutely flying. To be honest, I expected us to. And to be fair for Manchester, for large parts of the first period, they did manage to keep up with us. You know, we pinned them into the zone a couple of times. But it was really, really, really good at hockey, you know, back and forth, couple of big hits, up and down hockey. It was great to watch. I can't remember if we scored in the first period, but
nil-nil end of the first.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Sean, as Aaron said, it was, probably one of the most entertaining games seen this year, as well as, being a good performance from the Devils.
Yeah, it was fast, physical. We played very well. The couple of chances we had in the first weren't brilliant, great. Sam Duggan was unfortunate to not score on the breakaway. Got absolutely robbed by Matkin on the breakaway, and couldn't have done any more. Great little head fake and pulled a move on the goalie. Didn't made him work for the save, hit the net, and overall we came out in the second and just ran riot. I thought we were fantastic, and it was a very, very physical game. Massive, massive crowd pleaser. Couldn't have asked for a better game in front of a sellout crowd. And yeah, it was, when we got the first one, it was never in any doubt that we were going to take the result. Manchester, like you said, were on the high from the win against Belfast, but anything additional to that would have been a bonus for them. They weren't going to, I don't think they expected to beat the two top teams in the league one night after another, especially in a barn like ours, which is hard to go if you're a small ice team like Manchester. So, yeah, all in all, a good result, very good performance, and just two points down.
Yeah, you mentioned sort of sticking with Manchester, their performance on the big ice. I was surprised at how well they adapted, and obviously the game finished in a 4-0 win for the Devils, but there's been a few games we've played against Manchester where they've taken very few penalties, and they've seemed to have been able to live with us for a lot. It's sort of strange.
Yeah, well, you look at the team that Andrew,
where they seem to go crazy.
Yeah, you look at the team that Andrew Law built in his first season, and it was built for the small ice with the large ice pad in mind. We built a team for the small surface and added players who could skate, like your Joey Martin, etc. And Manchester have done that. They've got a very, very mobile team, which when they do come to the big ice, it's a little bit out of their comfort zone, but they are capable of playing on it. You look at the guys like Matt Becker, Hammond, Kieran Long, all good skaters in their own right, and I thought they did adapt very, very well, like you said, and they just didn't take stupid penalties, which, you know, it's not known from Manchester. I think that they know that they have to stay disciplined in a game like that after absolutely gunning it against the Giants the night before in their home arena. And yeah, but like you said, they're not a bad side on Big S. And I think that the way they played, although the scoreline was, as you said, probably doesn't reflect the true performance of Manchester, rather it showcases how good we are. They don't look like a team that should be languishing out of the playoffs.
Yeah, agreed. And so the question is going to be, which I'll throw to Aaron, is it a coaching issue that there seems to be so many games where they have these, where they run into, you know, penalty after penalty and seem to just get stung on, you know, penalties, suspensions and that type of thing. Is that a coaching issue for you, Aaron, or is it just the nature of the team's built?
I think it seems to be a Ryan Infinity team. You know, back in when he was up in Bray Head, you've seen similar things, you know, a lot of guys taking a lot of penalty minutes, and he does usually seem to sign those type of guys. But I don't think they did take many penalties against us. Well,
no, that was it. This game they didn't. So I was just asking, like, why is there that difference? Why can they?
I think it's probably they just it's probably against, like, we didn't really, like, it depends. Probably you play, like, they've got the type of players that get wound up quite easily. We've seen that with Springer, because Springer was just trying to be a nuisance all night, and then Mark Lewis put him in his box. But so maybe that's the case. Maybe, like, they play other teams, get wound up, and they retaliate, and maybe you're right, there's a coaching issue, and Infinity haven't got a good control over his team. Like, you'll never see one of our guys lose their head like that. Like, see Matt Pope, you know, giving it a little back and forth in the second period, you know, stood his ground but didn't do too much where he got called for a penalty. And that's all you need to do, just do enough but not too much. And I think, you know, when Manchester Storm find that line, they then cross there and it backfires on them. And maybe you're like, Paul, maybe it is a coaching issue, but it's something I've always seen with Ryan Finity teams anyway, up in Bray Head, last 2 years in Manchester. So, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And you obviously mentioned that the Mark Lewis fight, and, you know, Lewis, Manchester had started to rough it up a little bit. It was, you know, still early in the second after goals from Ulmer and Fournier. And, you know, they tried to up the physicality in the game and were looking. And I think Lewis had asked him a couple of times, and, you know, it had waited. And Lou just did his job. Like, every time Springer got close, Lewis caught him with an axe big fist. And, as you said, I can't remember really seeing Springer do anything after that. It was the perfect example of, you know, a player fighting and just setting the tone and, you know, just balancing everything back out and telling the team that they can't be taking liberties. So, you know, well done to Mark Lewis, and an absolutely brilliant, time to step up, and another great fight. There's not going to be many guys who are going in with their jaws sticking out now after that fight and the Fitzgerald one up in Bray Head in January. Third period, Devils got another couple, Longley and Dixon. And I left the rink feeling massively confident after. I was really worried about us. The Sheffield away the week before, really flat performance, I thought, with players not turning up. And I just thought, you know, we had the ability to do that. And that Storm performance for me showed that everyone had their head screwed on. They knew exactly what was needed. And, you know, we were just going to, We needed another six periods of that, and the league was done. And so we decided to go to Dundee. Obviously, if we'd have beaten Dundee, and if Belfast had dropped a point home to Sheffield, the league title would have been won. So three of us and a few others decided to make the drive up on Sunday morning. And that the drive was great fun. Things started to go downhill once the puck dropped, Sean.
Yeah, it couldn't really have, I think it all started really when we saw the score coming in from the SSE, and we knew that it wasn't going to be the night. But you know, we couldn't miss the chance really, could we? If it had gone our way, we would have been gutted to not be there. So we took the chance, and that was the start of the bad proceedings, and it only got worse from there, from what we were actually watching. And it was not a very, very night and day of the performance the night before, wasn't it, really?
100%. And you know, I'd have been more than happy to get 2 points and not win the league. I said it all the way up. For,
of course, yeah.
To put us 1 point away with games against MK and Coventry to come, you're practically there. And, you know, I was a little bit confident. There were rumours coming out of Belfast that they had injuries to both Bascarani and Murphy. And thought if they'd have came off, I was a little bit confident that we could have actually got it sewn up. But there wasn't a lot of me that was thinking we were going to leave having lost and Belfast having won. And, you know, it's what happened. Aaron, Belfast, Dundee, just seemed to cause us problems all night. I thought seemed to be able to get into the zone a lot easier than we would have liked.
Yeah, it was a weird one. It was, like you said, it was like it was watching two different teams on two different nights. It was just, I think we came out a little bit flat, started a little bit slow, and Dundee just jumped on our backs. You know, they had fresh legs. They haven't played for a week, maybe more, where we played the night before and had to travel up. Non excuse. But, you know, they had fresher legs. We probably were a little bit tired and stuff like that. And, you know, it turned out and bit us on the bum. I think when you play a team like that's down that lower half of the table, as soon as they get a goal, they're just going to trap, close down five men in front of that net. And it becomes nigh on impossible for a team to score against. And that is the story of what happened, you know. First period, we were terrible. Couldn't get anything going. We can see the goal, and Dundee done what they had to do, close us out. Then in the second period, yeah, we was a little bit better, not too much. But the same thing, we just couldn't get going. And it was constant, and they score again. And, you know, we did manage to pull one back, but a little too late. And unfortunately, for Bounds, it takes terrible bounce off the boards and force the stick to one of their guys in his back of the net, and you're 3-1 down, and it's like, oh, I just drove 7 hours, well, 8 hours up here to watch this. Thank you very much. But yeah. I just think, you know, that's off to Dundee. They knew I think it's the case that I would have been against, because I think we've struggled more against the teams that not as quick as us, can't put up with our pace, kind of thing. They get a goal in front and they just collapse. And we haven't been able to play against that all year. We've grounded out results and stuff like, yeah, great. But when you go balls to the wall the night before, getting them 2 points and then having to do that, you know, you're not going to have the legs. It's the tail end of the season. There's a lot of factors that play into it. And, you know, credit Dundee, they were just a better team on the night than did what they had to do. Great coach.
Yeah, obviously, I'm a passer. Sean, you know, fair take for you. You know, if you look at the shots only, Dundee outshot Devils 15-7 in the first. That was reversed then in the second. Devils actually shooting Dundee 15-7 and then 12-8 to the Devils in the third. I don't remember a huge amount of grade A chances. Like if you try and think how many good saves their goalie made, it's not a massively number, but we did it the pipes a couple of times. So what was your take on the performance in the game?
Yeah, I thought that Dundee were very solid. As Aaron said, they get a goal in front. And I think Dundee are a very quick team. They're very, very young. They have a lot of youth. And they use their speed to their advantage. We looked a tired side going up there. And we shouldn't have. I know we had quite an intense, fast game against Manchester the previous night. And Dundee hadn't played at all since the Wednesday, I think. Against Coventry, so they went into it with their only game of the weekend, and that happens. The scheduling, can't really do anything about it, and they got one and just clogged up the neutral zone. You look how difficult we found it to to gain the zone, because we were forced to dump and chase because of the trap game they were playing, and they just had the extra legs to be the first to nearly every puck that went in the zone. And when we did manage to get it and create some zone time, we were not doing a great deal with it because we'd already exerted all our energy to get into the zone. And we managed to get one on the board on the power play through Mark Richardson, but I just couldn't see where another goal was going to come from. A couple of chances we had, which on another night, guys like Joey Martin, Lane Olmo would have buried. Lane Olmo could have scored a hat-trick in the first period, but we just didn't have the legs. And, you know, it's not really an excuse because this team's used to playing night in, night out, back-to-back. But when you're up against a side that fresh in Dundee, who have got some skill as well as speed to burn, it's going to be a very, very long night for you. And we just didn't do the right things to beat a team like that. We kept trying to play our game, and we should have just been gritty. And if we'd scored the first goal, that game would have been a totally different story.
That's fair enough. The game was, Aaron mentioned the bounce off the boards that gave the third goal, but yeah, that was with 1:04 left. Yeah, I think it was done about 16 and a half minutes into the third. Fournier took a slashing penalty that I thought at the time that their player had caught the puck in his hand and took a couple of steps with it, and you know, Fournier then slashed his hand, which I don't actually know what the call is there, and I'm sure it should be a slash against Fournier, but you know, potentially 2 minutes for delay again for the player closing his hand on it. But you know, it goes for you, goes against you. So, but yeah, you know, once that was done, we had that 2 minute kill, and you know, Bounds was rushing to get the puck back in play. You know, yeah, 1:05 left. He couldn't leave it dead behind the boards and behind the net. Sorry, and yeah, you know, that's what happens. And you know, I didn't. It was just one of those games. It didn't feel like it was going to go our way.
Yeah. Like, Bounds has to go for that puck. If he doesn't, he's the closest guy to it. If he wins the puck, we're up the other end of the ice. Two of their guys are committed up high, and we have a chance to go forward and score a goal and tie the game up. And if he doesn't, their guys get on it and have a 2-on-0, and they're going to pass it between themselves and likely score anyway. So that, it's just one of those things. Them's the breaks, it's the boards, and it could happen to any other goalie in the league. I've seen it put all over Twitter, you know, about Ben Bounds, this, that, and the other, but as a goaltender, he's got to try and play that puck with that at that stage of the game. If you're going to lose 2-1, you might as well lose 3-1.
Exactly. It's like going empty net. It's, you've got to go when you get to that. If you'd have done that halfway through the third period, you know, you'd have been questioning why he was chasing down that puck. But
yeah.
The breaks. Belfast ran out comfortable 5-1 winners in the end against Sheffield.
Yeah, thanks.
And an all-round rubbish evening was done, really. Oh, it was a good laugh. It's, but we weren't there for a laugh. We were there for 2 points. And we didn't get them. So we weren't happy. And then last night, Belfast travelled to Coventry, which, you know, you probably would have thought was the best chance of Giants dropping any points between now and the end of the year. And Coventry decided to, well, just take the first period off, really. I think I watched about the first 8 minutes on Free Sports. Uh-huh. And once Belfast had scored their third, turned it off, and they ran out 7-2 victors. So that Coventry performance on Sunday would be really nice, but I've got a funny feeling that's not what we're going to get. So thank you, Coventry. That was the from a good Friday, a better Saturday, to a not very, a pretty rubbish Sunday. It was up and down. And leaves us in the horrible place of needing 3 points from our last two games that we will come on to. And I don't really want to talk about it, but we will. But we're going to do a player of the week first. As we said, it's two very different games. So picking a player might prove difficult. And I know it's where you never expect it, so this will be a bit of a surprise for him.
Was this player of the week? I'm going to go, do you know what? I'm going to go Ben Bounds. Shut out Saturday night. And through no fault of his own, like, we did lose Sunday, but he kept us in it way more than we should have been in that game. You know, 3-1 doesn't sound like a terrible scoreline, but it definitely could have been more. He made some incredible saves. And I, to be honest, I don't give him enough credit. The last couple of weeks, he's been incredible. I think he's had like 4 shutouts in his last 5 or 6 games, and he's been absolutely stellar. And, you know, if we score on the other end a couple of times, then we win in Dundee. Bounce did his job. He did what he needed to do. It was an unlucky bounce, and it cost us, but he done what he needed to do. It was just the other end that couldn't produce. And, you know, that happened a couple of times this year, and, you know, I hope for his sake that it ends out well, because, you know, he played a lot of games. It's going to suck if this doesn't come out. But, yeah, bounce for me.
Fabulous. Sean?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Aaron. It was a good weekend from Ben Bounce. I also thought he was absolutely stellar in the game against the Clan on Wednesday. Probably kept us in it in the opening period, with them getting the better of the opening chances. So I just want to echo what Aaron said, and said that he's played a lot of hockey this year. And this week, probably, you know, one of his better weeks. Can't help what happened on Sunday. So, yeah, Ben Bounce for me.
And we've got a sweep in that case. So as we're talking about Ben Bounce, he became the all-time Devils shutout leader, getting his 29th career shutout in less than 5 seasons for the Devils home to Manchester, which I think was also the 3rd shutout in a row at home. And as Aaron said, it was something like the 4th in 6 games. So he's played a lot of hockey, as both of you said, but he's playing his best hockey of the year right now, and, you know, hopefully that carries on for another couple of games. So congratulations to Ben Bounce, who, you know, we haven't done a podcast in March, and if we're doing Player of the Month right now, I think he'd be a shoo-in for it the way he's played all month. So, you know, a well-worthy player of the week.
Yep.
We're going to do some end-of-season awards. Got a couple of things to go through. We'll go straight in. We'll do Defenseman of the Year, because I feel like there's probably not an awful lot of conversation to be had about it. I will go first and say Gleeson Fournier. I don't think there's much need to make a strong case. He's got 71 points on the year. He leads the league in plus minus with an absolutely crazy plus 52. 71 points, or 70 points, depending on whether you're looking at flash scores or the Elite League website, because no one can get anything right, but well over a point a game already. The guy is, you know, half of them left big shoes to fill and, or big skates to fill. And I think Fournier has stepped into them and really, you know, used the mantle of number one D-man to properly shine and showcase what he can do. And he's just had an absolute, some of the goals he scored, some of the moves he's pulled have been sublime to watch. And yeah, as a single season from a Devils player, I would struggle to think of a better one in general, that he has just been head, especially from a D-man, he's been head and shoulders this year on D. Sean?
Yeah, zero arguments. Gleeson Fournier is going to win a lot of awards this year at the Devils Awards night, at the Elite League Awards coming at the end of the year. And if he doesn't win our Defenseman of the Year with the highest plus minus in the league, then we're doing something wrong. So, you know, just to say that we actually did something right this season, we need to give it to Gleeson Fournier.
Aaron, is it a sweep with your vote?
Yeah, it is. One thing that stood out by me, like, I don't think points should definitely define a D-man in any stretch of the form, because there's been D-men that can pull points up and not do much else. But Fournier, you know, he's been able to do both front and back end, score and cover his own bum many times. But I'm not sure how accurate it is or true it is, but I've seen a stat and I think it was most points ever by a D-man in the Elite League is something like 74, and Gleeson Fournier is now 3 away from that. well, fourth on breaking it with two games to play. And he's more than capable than getting, you know, he could do it just in Milton Keynes alone. So, you know, that's a feat that he probably should and will aim for. And he probably will get it. And yeah, if he does that, well, even if he doesn't do that, he deserves player of the year anyway. But if he does that, then, you know, he's the best, potentially the best D-man the Elite League's ever seen. Like, so yeah, we're lucky. Very, very lucky.
And it's a record that stood since the first season of the Elite League as well. So I can't remember the guy's name that put the stats up now, but actually that was him. Put up 74 points in 55 games.
Do.
There we go. That's a clean sweep for defencemen. I think we might have some differences of opinions moving up to the forwards. Aaron, do you want to go first?
What, forward of the year?
Yeah. Why is it all such a shock to you?
You just said the forwards. I don't know. Forward of the year, Joey Martin, no doubt in my mind. He should get it every year for the rest of his life. The guy's outstanding. He might not have been able to get the points he have done the last couple of years, but he's got goals. He's beat his goals tally over the last couple of years. I think he's got the most game-winning goals, most power play goals. And it's not just the goal scoring he does, like his assists. You know, his passing is near on perfect, and there's no, I would go as far as say there's no player in this team, maybe Dixon, skates harder than Joey Martin for 200 foot every game, every night. Yeah, you've missed a game here and there, but Joey Martin is one of those players that you can rely on pretty much every night that get you a result, and 9 times out of 10, you know, he's the guy to do it. And for me, again, we're lucky. The guy's phenomenal. He's only 30. You know, hopefully we can see him for another 5 years. Hopefully we can see him forever. But yeah, Joey Martin for me.
And Sean?
Cleason Fournier. but no, yeah, can't. I'm struggling to. I'm trying to find a reason to disagree with what Aaron's saying. And I can't.
That's the same way.
He's just. Martin's just been tremendous this year. You get it from him night in, night out. There's no game where you've seen Martin take a night off or have a bad game. You know, he may not have his best game, but that's because he's that good, and he sets really high expectations. And just look at the games this year which we've won purely on his goals. And I don't, you know, you look at the last couple of months, and we are not in a title race without Joey Martin scoring goals for us. And it's point blank, clear as that. And yeah, for me, forward of the year has to go to Joey Martin.
I was quite torn, I've got to say, with my choices. I had a couple of people in there, and for different reasons. Like Charles Longley, I've loved watching. There's some of the stuff he's done, but I think he's he's not, you know, maintained the heights that he set right at the start of the year. Through the year, he's had some quieter spells, which left me with Martin or Stephen Dixon, who I've absolutely loved as a Cardiff Devil. I think he's started putting points up recently as well, but has just been Mr. Consistent all year, as in the face-off circle is absolutely outstanding. But I you two have both talked me into saying Joey Martin. It's he since about Christmas, I think it's felt like he wasn't bad before that, because he's Joey Martin doesn't do bad, but he just absolutely picked it up and started flying. And yeah, that little spell through January, February, but you seem to be having multi-point games almost every game. And yeah, he's definitely kept us in the title race. So, Joey Martin is the forward of the year. We didn't have any disagreements. We're going to do one that the Devils don't do now, which is the most improved player of the year. So, you know, depends on, you know, is that someone from last year? Are we looking at someone who's improved through the season? However you want to do it, I don't mind. Sean, your turn to go first.
I think a little bit of both. You look at the criticism last year from the very beginning of one of our new imports, new import defencemen, and it sort of took its toll and led to the removal of his social media, and he proved some people wrong. I was still a little bit cautious on the re-sign. He was probably not on my list at the end of the year, but I'd sign this guy in an absolute heartbeat for next year, and that's Bryce Reddick. You cannot, I can't believe how different my opinion is on him since the start of the season. He's just done, the guy just can't do any more. He's put the puck in the net at opportune times. He's blocked shots, cut down his penalties, not taken quite so many cross checks. Because of his small stature, it's one of those things which he will take a penalty like that, but it's drastically gone down this year, and I'd be happy to see Bryce Reddick play for this Cardiff for the Cardiff Devils for a long time if he keeps up the current level of play. And I don't think there's a better compliment to pay someone than they just got so much better as the year has gone on. He's worked hard, and he's had a couple of different D partners this year, and he's made it work. He's been Mr. Consistent, playing power, spot of power play, penalty kill, done everything for the team, and you can't ask any more of him. So Bryce Reddick for me.
I'll just fully echo that. I was I warmed to Gleeson Fournier through last season. Gleeson Fournier, yeah.
you warmed to him just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's been all right, hasn't he? To be honest, I think you could probably make a really strong case for Fournier being most improved team man, most improved player, just in terms of the step up. But yeah, agree with everything you said, Sean. It was by the end of the year, I thought Reddick was a better player last season than he'd started it. But it's night and day this year. He is a different player, and he's someone that I would definitely want back on the D for next year, and would probably be quite high up my list of players. If you had a wish list, he's comfortably sitting top half of that list this season. So he's had a really good year and gets my vote as well. Aaron.
Well, it don't matter what I say anyway, because I've lost. But just for a laugh, I'm going to throw my vote to a player, a lot of people, well, I say a lot, one person called him underwhelming, and he received a lot of flack before signing him. And if we went off what that certain person said, the certain person is Sean Phillips, also a part of Red Army Roundup, said that he would be underwhelming and wasn't happy about signing him. And next thing you know,
overrated.
Yeah, and overrated as well. And next thing you know, he lived up to the hype. And I think since becoming a Cardiff Devil, everyone's seen him in a different light. And I do genuinely think that he's a better player now than he was for Nottingham. And we've only really seen him as a D-man. We've seen him a couple of times as a forward, and, we all know he can skate. He's probably the fastest player in the team at the moment. And yeah, I just think he's fantastic, and he's definitely not overrated, and he's definitely not underwhelming. So if he comes into the team with that kind of stature, how can he not improve from there?
Oh, well done, Aaron. It's always good to tout the Sean called him underwhelming and overrated. Another guy that I want back, and I just want him back for as long as possible, just so we can keep reminding Sean just how wrong he was. It's always nice when people are so publicly wrong about something. And the last award, our MVP. I feel like it's a straight 50-50 dogfight here. Aaron, who gets the vote for you?
Ooh. I'm going to go Joey Martin. I think a team without Joey Martin in it is never going to be as good as a team with Joey Martin in. Fournier, although he's a fantastic player and he's doing all these things and breaking all these records and putting up all these points, did we not have the same kind of player last year and the year before and the year before? Not disrespecting Fournier in the slightest, because I do think that Fournier has been able to, better everything Hotham's done. But I do think, you could still win games without a Fournier in your team. I do not think you can win a game with without Joey Martin in your team. And that's just me. I think for as long as he's a devil and for as long as he's doing what he's doing, you know, he came into the league 5 years ago when the league was, you could probably say, five times worse than what it is now, won a Challenge Cup, then goes on, you know, sticks around, wins a league title, wins another elite league title. I know Fournier's done all this as well and he's been part of that team, but I think Joey Martin has been the forefront, and the reason he's called the GOAT, as people say, greatest of all time, is because he probably is. You know, he probably never match, we definitely won't match Steve Moyer's points record, but he is definitely the best player to ever wear a Devil's shirt, and how can we not say he's the MVP of the year?
I would say go to Sean, but if there's a poll where it's possible to pick Joey Martin, I think it's quite sure who Sean's going to pick. But in saying that, Martin gets my vote as the MVP. He's just always there. He's probably the best way to describe him. And he's not a, you know, as you've said a couple of times, he's not maybe reached the heights and the points that he's done previously. You know, his line hasn't always been the line where, you know, I can't remember many spells since Martin came in where the line that had Joey Martin on it wasn't the one that you were looking to do something. You know, I think a lot of the time that was the Longley Dixon Hedden line when that was firing, and then Ulmer had that. You know, there's been a lot more shared out, which is probably reflected in his points, but still going to point a game and, you know, has won us a lot of games and just does everything that he needs to do. And, you know, I think he's made the players around him look a lot better. I think, you know, guys that maybe weren't performing as well have, you know, managed to carry on, you know, putting up points and doing all right. And I think, you know, a lot of the credit for that has got to go to the guy like Joey Martin, who's just working his bag off every single night for the team. So, Sean, do you want to confirm the clean sweep?
Yeah, I just... Who else can it be? Does everything, is always there. If you want a game, if you want a goal come the end of the game, you're throwing Joey Martin out there. He's your sixth man when you pull a goalie. If you could have a team of him, you would win the title week in, week out. That guy could play D in goal, anything. Plays penalty kill, power play, just does all the little things. You look at the way he controls the puck in the zone and how some, you just don't know which way he's going to turn. It's shocking to players who play against him, and it's shocking to the fans. I still don't think that I'm shocked. I still think that every time I watch Joey Martin, he just does Joey Martin things, and it still excites me to watch hockey, knowing that I'm going to watch a team with Joey Martin in it, because he's just brilliant and makes players around him better. Like you said, maybe this year his line hasn't quite done what it needed to get him up the points, but he's picked players up and probably you can, he's just made his teammates better, and he's just done everything. There's no one more critical to the success of the Cardiff Devils this year than Joey Martin.
Yeah, I think that's the case. It has been for a couple of years now, and he's got him. You'd imagine he's right up, he's number one on the re-sign list every year. Just, it's, one day there'll be a team without Joey Martin in it. There's a cheer.
No, let's not end the awards on that note.
Hopefully it will be for a while, but, you know, for what feels like forever, Joey Martin is the MVP of the Devils again. And I would be very surprised if he doesn't get that in the Devils End of Year Awards, though. We need to start disagreeing a lot more, though. I thought we were going to argue a lot more than that, but there we go.
There was just one odd vote in that one, wasn't there? And that was just to single me out. Thanks for that.
Yeah, pretty much the only thing we disagreed on was just to be able to make out of you. So at least we used it for a good reason.
Yes.
If anyone listening, you know, disagrees with us, please, you know, drop us a tweet and you'll let us know who you think should have got the votes and you know, why you think we're wrong and why you think Sean's wrong that Mosey is so underrated and underwhelming. just remind him of it at every possible opportunity. And now we're going to talk about this weekend. I don't want to talk about this weekend. I don't want to think about this weekend. I would like it to be after this weekend, but only if it's gone the right way. Aaron, have you thought about much else since the end of that Dundee game?
No, I have not. I haven't. Literally, it's just every time I think about it, I either feel like, yeah, this is it, we're going to do it, or I'm like, Christ, we're not going to do it. This is going to be the worst day of my life. I hate hockey. It just swings between that every 5 minutes or so, and I'm still undecided.
This stresses me out so much. You're Mr. Confident of the podcast. This isn't right.
Yeah, but then we lost 3-1 in Dundee.
Oh, dear, it's horrible. I know you watch hockey because you want the tight games, you want the tense games, but do you really want to go to Coventry Shore needing something to win the league?
Give me 2 10-0s right now, and I don't want to see a goal. It could be the boring, worst game in the world. Just give me a result. I don't care. I don't want entertainment. I do not want to be entertained.
I back that up 100%. Entertaining games are totally overrated. I don't even want 4 points. I want 3 points. I'm not greedy. Like just 3 will be fine. So to talk about the weekend, that was just a little bit of therapy for me and Aaron. We'll come on to Sean's therapy shortly. Belfast host Fife on Friday. Fife are in the playoffs safely. I think they can go up to third potentially and drop down to seventh. So they've got quite a big swing available to them. But is that really enough to make them want to go hell for leather? I think Sean Wednesday probably showed that Giants have definitely got the focus at the moment. And are you expecting much favour Friday night?
You just don't know in this league. We didn't expect a favour from Manchester. This league is... Well, exactly. This league is just so unreal. And Fife's form is so up and down. You know, they won 2 in a row. The last 2 home games, they beat Nottingham and Guildford. They lost in Coventry. 1-5, 1 at home to Sheffield. They're so up and down, and our one saving grace is that Fife have got a very, very good goaltender. And we say this absolutely all the time. It's going to be their first game of the weekend. They are going to be facing against a Belfast side who, well, I say they played on Wednesday. They probably could have, you know.
played 10 minutes on Wednesday.
But you know, you just do not know. They've got to go to Glasgow and host Glasgow the night over the weekend. So are they going to be looking at Belfast and just think, you know, let's just take it easy on this one and go for it against Glasgow, because that's what's going to, they're going to want to beat their rivals. And those are the games which, if they want to go up to the, you know, to third, they're 4 point swingers. So it's difficult to say. I hope so. I really hope so. I can't see it, but I'd like to think the Fife will give them a good go in the hope that the following night Belfast are pretty banged up.
We're just hoping that people give Belfast a game. We're talking about the Belfast games just because it's the order they're coming in. Obviously, it's totally in our hands, and you have the first game. Aaron, home to Milton Keynes. Milton Keynes play Manchester on Friday night. They host Manchester on Friday night, then travel down to Cardiff. And then Sunday, they host Sheffield again. And that's their last 3 games in the Elite League with them dropping down. They're rooted to the bottom of the table, but they have turned us over in overtime once this year, Aaron, and you know, if you could say a game was the one that you wanted when you needed 2 points, this is the team that you're going to handpick, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, we've had games against Wilton Keynes where we've beat them. I think it was 9-1. I think we've even shut them out. And like you said, they've beat us in a shootout. So it's going to be a game that can literally, whatever. I think it depends on Friday night's result with Belfast, with how hard we play. I think if we need the 2 points, we'll come out all guns blazing. If we don't, I think we're going to take it a little bit easy. But that could turn around and bite us on the bum. But it should be a game that we walk away with relatively easy. You know, they play a tough game the night before. They're going to want to, maybe they want to turn up at home and they may rest a couple. Well, I don't think they've got any guys to rest, but it's just going to be one of those games. We need to come out flying, but then I don't want us to exert too much energy where we haven't got it for Coventry the next day. I think sit a player who's maybe carrying a knock, you know, someone who's been playing every game this year, sit them. You know, it's a game where we can do that. Like, we've got, like, unless Livingston's carrying a knock, he's more than capable of doing a job for this team. We've seen that. He did that until Joey Dad come back. And he, let's be fair, he didn't do a bad job. So I think rest the guy and then make sure you've got your full team of absolute everyone for Sunday night ready for possibly the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, interesting. We probably maybe should have discussed that you haven't played in Glasgow Wednesday, home Saturday, and Dundee Sunday. Livingston was the scratch for all of them, whether healthy or not. As Aaron said, we don't know. But you know, interesting. Lord likes to stick to a winning team and did that, but
we didn't win.
We didn't win. No, I meant going into the game on Sunday.
That's the reminder, Aaron.
Yeah, we just start to get over it. We really haven't. But, you know, we discussed that we looked a little bit leggy against Dundee. And, you know, if Livingston was fit, maybe there's a case for him having played. You know, with a week off, does Lord want to disrupt the lineup and bring him back? It's, you know, it's all up in the air. And, you know, Sean, do you make a change on Saturday, planning to change it back on Sunday? Or do you think Andrew will look for that consistency through the two nights?
I think that you put all your good guys out there on Saturday. It's really, really difficult because I think James Livingston is the sort of player that you want to play a game in Coventry with a small eye surface as he's a high energy player. But do you want to save someone with more ability for a game like that? You know, it's a really difficult balance, and I think you go with Livingston on the Sunday. To be quite honest with you, and you know, God forbid someone could take a knock on Saturday. You know, you could lose a guy against Milton Keynes just because we're playing it easy. I'd like to think not, but it's the chance that. The chance at history, and we need to do what we've got the resources to do that. Saturday should be our fairly simple game. If it is, you just can't tell. I really, really, really don't know, to be quite honest with you.
Fun and games. So Belfast host Dundee that night. There is a slim mathematical possibility that Dundee will still be in with a shout, but they'll 100% need a win over Belfast, and they probably won't know whether they're in or out until the end of Coventry Manchester game that's happening that time. So we'd like to think they'll be going hard to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. But as you know, Sean said, Belfast's a difficult place to go. We are looking for favours, but we're not needing them. And then we go to Coventry. And if everything's gone well on Saturday and 2 points are being picked up for the Devils, the Devils will need a single point from the Sky Dome. Coventry may still...
Have you heard us say that before?
Oh, did we not need two then? We need two when it went wrong on the last day of the season.
Wow.
5 years ago. Because it went to overtime.
Results to go our way or something.
Yeah, we've gone to Coventry needing a result on the last day of the season previously, and it didn't go well.
We might still need a result this one. You never know.
Well, we will. I am quite confident that we're going to need to go to Coventry needing a result of at least a point. It's the second worst place that something like that could go horribly wrong for you. Sheffield being the other one. Aaron, we're talking about these games like in depth. You know, they're the eighth place team. They're fighting for the playoffs. You know, you think you want to play the lower teams, but you know, Coventry are going to be fighting for their lives on Sunday night. Jeez.
The thing is, it may as well be the beginning of the year where no one knows where they are in the standings yet, because that's how much the games matter. Like, it is basically a life or death, not life or death, because that's quite, you know, over the top.
No, but, I don't think so.
It's like, you know, you either win and extend your season a little bit, or you win and you win the Elite League for the third time in a row. But, do you know what? At least it's in our hands. Like, we could be in Belfast's shoes right now, where they've still got to play another two games and then hope we drop a point at 2 points. Do you know what I mean? At least it's in our hands. It could be worse. Coventry are a tough team to play. You know, we've split so far in their rink. We've lost one, we've won one. Neither of those were convincing. And, you know, it's just one of those games, you know, like, we all expected Belfast to have a tougher game on Wednesday, and what happened? First period 4-0. Why can't we do that? You know, there's not a lot between us and Belfast team wise, skill wise, but you know, we've got a goaltender that's playing top of his game. We've got a D man that's top of the standings. We've got a forward who's, you know, doing the same thing he'd been doing for 5 years, and in between all that, we've got players that have been world class all year. Yeah, we've slipped up a couple of times, so have Belfast. But you know what? If there's one team, maybe not certain players, but if there's one team that I think that can do it, it's this team, it's the Cardiff Devils. And you know, if it doesn't come off, then you'll probably never hear from me again. But if it does, then you'll probably be seeing a lot more of me than you want to. So
I feel like a lot more of you than I want. It's like a double-edged sword, that, isn't it?
Yep.
there's a downside to either end. Oh, just that this is going to be probably the most stressful sporting weekend for any Devils fan. It's horrible talking about
It's both ends of the spectrum, isn't it? It's the worst way to lose it. To play 60 games and come that close and not do it is the worst thing that can happen. But to come all this way, I have to go to Coventry and win the title on the last day. And make history. Like, it's both ends of the scale. You either go to Coventry and you make history, or the success of the last 2 years is over and it's heartbreak. And you know, we talk all the time about feeling all the highs, and I don't think that there'll be another. If we do this weekend, it'll be the best title win we've had, because it'll be the most fans there. It'll be on the last day of the season, and it'll be stressful. It'll be pure relief, and who knows? I just think it'll mean a little bit more, because we've been pushed that hard this year. The Giants have pushed us all the way. We've slipped up, they've slipped up, and it's been the hardest title race since the very first year with Sheffield, which we lost, coincidentally, because we lost against them. So it's just got the makings of a classic one way or the other. I'd like it to be us that get the... There's only going to be one set of supporters disappointed at the end of this weekend, and it's going to be us. Because if we don't win the title, we'll be gutted to lose it from where we are. If the Giants lose it from where they are, they've had their disappointment last Friday. They conceded the title last Friday against Manchester. I don't think they'll be that disappointed. They've got a trophy in the bag already. We lose this weekend. We don't have a trophy in the bag, and we've done it to ourselves. But if you can't take 3 points from the bottom three teams in the league in the last three fixtures, you don't deserve to win the title, point blank.
Yeah. That's
simple as.
Yeah, and you know, as I said before the Manchester game, it was five points from the bottom four teams. Mm. So, you know, it wasn't there. Obviously, clearly it wasn't there because it's this tight. And, you know, I just keep thinking of the stress levels in the last two games where we've won the last two seasons where we've won the league, where we had a handful of games after both to get it done. This really is, and we've got no backup net on the Sunday. If we need something, you can't be hoping the Belfast lose because they're not playing, they're done. It really is shit or bust, and that's what it is. And there we go. So, thank you for listening, everybody. I hope that we've made you feel super stressed because my stress levels are through the roof right now. Apologies again for the gap. We'll be back next week, I would imagine, depending on what happens on Sunday. I'd like to say that we'll come back anyway, but I got a feeling there would be a sulk that would last quite a while for the three of us. So we'll be back at some stage is all I'm going to say at the moment. Hopefully we'll all have a very good weekend. Enjoy your hockey, folks. And for now, that is your Red Army Roundup. The devil inside, every single one of us, the devil.